Welcome to A Day of Prayer. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me.
Together, let's engage in relationship with Christ through prayer, faith, and His Word.
Good morning and welcome. You're listening to A Day of Prayer's Morning Bible Study. My name is Layla and we're so happy to have you here with us. But before we jump into the Word, we're going to take a moment and pray. Lord, we thank you for today, Lord, and we thank you for your tender mercies, Lord, that your fatherly kindness that you show to us, Lord, that you teach us and you train us, Lord, that you show us things to come through your Holy Spirit, and you always tell us the truth, Lord, so that we aren't surprised, that we don't fall short, Lord, that we aren't taken captive by the adversary, Lord. We thank you for the freedom that you brought to us, Lord, and continue to bring through your ministering words and hands, Lord, and we ask that you will continue to provide us with your wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' amen. Almighty name,
mission
amen.
Complete.
And amen. Well, good morning and welcome, everyone. So glad to have you with us as we dive into the word of the Lord and continue our study in the book of James. We are in chapter 1 and are continuing our discussion on verses 9 through 11. So I want to encourage you to go ahead and pause the episode this time, just taking a moment to read through that section of scripture to make things easier to follow along in the discussion. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right. And now, as is our custom, the floor is open to give each of you the opportunity to share what Holy Spirit is speaking and ministering to you and to ask any questions that you have. So, who would like to begin?
Dad, I thought you were gonna wow us with this really awesome stuff you had to say.
Oh, I'm gonna wow you. Well, it'd be the Lord first and foremost. But, I can do that. In the previous episode, there we were discussing this section of scripture, and in it, the Lord, through his natural brother James, right?
Yes.
Begins discussing discernment. And the sermon is definitely something that we absolutely need to walk in. All right, Malachi 3:18 talks about how to children of Israel, you will again distinguish between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and does not serve God. And isn't that exactly what is listed here in the scriptures? It's saying just because someone's lowly, let him glory in his exaltation. That's verse 9, right? But the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field, he will pass away. Right? And talks about the rich man will fade away in his pursuits. Well, the pursuit is anything. Notice it says his pursuit. That's a little h. Not the Lord's pursuits. He's going and approaching it through his own means, through following his plan and his path, not walking on the destiny track the Lord has set for him.
Yes, Dad.
Not saying that he still hasn't been blessed, but we are told to discern, right? Deuteronomy 1:13 tells us to choose wise and discerning and experienced men from your tribes. I will appoint them as your head, right?
Yes.
And then Proverbs 14:8 says, the wisdom of the sensible is to understand his way, but the foolishness of fools is deceit, right? So,
yes.
What are we willing to believe? Are we pursuing the Lord, asking for wisdom, right? Soundness, all those other things, so we can discern what the Lord is doing? Or are we in opposition to the Lord? Because all that matters, all that factors in, right? In Proverbs 30, verse 9, and I love that this is, you know, been brought up multiple times in this, how James is kind of the New Testament version of Proverbs, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But in Proverbs 30, actually in verse 8, it talks about the words of Agur, right? And he says, keep falsehood and deceitful words far from me, right? Give me neither poverty, nor riches. Feed me with the bread that is my portion. Otherwise, I may have too much and deny you, which is talking about denying the Lord, saying, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal, profaning the name of my God. Do not slander a servant to his master, or he will curse you and you will bear the guilt, right? But just understanding that, isn't that exactly what is being referenced here? All these, I'll say, elements and aspect of what wisdom is for is to discern. And in the previous episode, we talked about Solomon asked for wisdom. Why? So he could judge or rule over the people that weren't his. He said, this great people of yours, talking about the Lord's, right?
Yes.
Isn't that exactly what Moses did in and towards the children of Israel in the wilderness? Talked about how he judged, right?
Yes.
He was a judge over them. He taught them and taught the other elders, those that were wise and discerning, right?
Yes.
How to carry out the Lord's commands. As a first, seek the Lord. And that comes from relationship. So in the same way that Solomon, right, with this poor, wise man, right? So it's another portion that we need to understand here. As a lot of times, wisdom is equated with wealth and riches. And just because someone has wisdom does not mean that they necessarily have the riches and the wealth, right? Riches and wealth do not prove out someone's wisdom. It's their heart towards the Lord. The Lord's the one, again, that knows the thoughts and intents of the heart. And if we ask or seek the Lord, right, he will provide us that wisdom, that discernment concerning all things, right? It says those that are righteous will approve or appraise all things. They examine all things. They have no need for the righteous has no need for anyone to judge him. He's already doing it in his own life concerning himself, right? So in this, this is the key part that we have to understand. Discernment comes from the Lord through his Holy Spirit, right?
Yes.
Who examines the thoughts and intentions of the heart, each one's heart. He also searches out the deep things of the Lord. So when we receive this wisdom, we're asking for him to show us the deep, secret, hidden things. Yes, in his word, but also as it applies to the situation. That what Solomon wrote about in Ecclesiastes, the poor wise man who delivered or saved a city, right? He didn't do so of his own strength or his own counsel, right? Especially when, clearly a king, someone with wealth and power and an army and all these other things available at his disposal, and met their end. And again, the city was saved to or from the Lord using an individual that would just seek him. An individual that had none of those things available, those assets or whatever tools available at his disposal. So let's understand that. The Lord's the one that builds up. The Lord's the one that sits down, right? Kings and everyone else. So us, for our part, will we utilize the wisdom that he's giving us and also get understanding, that discernment, which is incorporated in that, and apply it?
Yes, Dad. And Dad, going back to what you were saying, Dad, you said, will we apply God's wisdom? And the Lord was also reminding me of how that this section is also talking about whether or not we're going to go God's way in order to receive his outcome, which is ultimately what you're talking about as well, Dad. And the Lord reminded me of something that LaCharles and I would do while we were inside Virginia, especially during heavy rains. We would take the umbrellas and we would open them and try to run into it. And as a result, we were drastically slowed down. And that is not something God wants us to do. God wants us to go with his grace in order to receive his outcome, because then God is able to reward us more than what we even think about. And how oftentimes inside of our minds we believe that God wants, while God may reward us, it may not be exactly what we want. Or he may not have enough reward for us, or we think we need more reward, which is wrong. And God has for us the exact thing that we need. And Dad, you talked about Agur, how he said, ultimately, give me what is right, so that I may glorify God inside of every area and aspect. And do not allow me to reach out my own hand and try to take something or snatch something for myself.
Why? Why did he say that, sir?
Let me go.
I'll share why. Right, Solomon, and it was brought up in the previous episode. He received the wisdom of the Lord, right?
Yes.
And ultimately, he didn't always apply it. He didn't always discern, even though that's what he was known for. And he ultimately fell away from the Lord, right?
Yes.
His heart was turned. Where here, Agur is saying, look, I don't want to be rich. I don't want to be poor. I just want what's right by the Lord. So because his heart was discerning, he understood, hey, if I have too much or too little, it's not going to be good for me, him personally, right?
Yes.
So, but his heart towards the Lord was to remain with the Lord above any and everything else, right? Isn't that what verse 9 is all about? Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation. He's exalted because of the Lord in living in and through him, right?
Yes.
The Holy Spirit being on him to empower him to do the things on the destiny track the Lord has set forth for his life. And Agur is saying something similar. I just want to do what's pleasing to the Lord. Isn't that the exact same pattern and example set forth in our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ?
Yes.
It wasn't about him coming and being super rich. It wasn't about him being super poor. Although he clearly came poor, right? He was born in a manger.
Yes.
Okay. He wasn't born in a palace, right?
Yes.
So understand all those things. And even his earthly ministry, you can say it either way, right? Clearly, there were times where he had money, he could do things, but there was also times where, for whatever reason, right, whether it was because Judas was pilfering in the money box or whatever the case is, right, that, well, he had to send Peter to go catch a fish and pull out the coins out of his mouth, denoting there was a lack of money at times, right? Either way, our Lord and Savior, Jesus, his heart towards the Father was that nothing was going to get in the way from serving our Heavenly Father. And that's the same approach we have to take.
Mm-hmm. And I would say it was more so the appearance of a lack of money.
Well, there, yes. Well,
it was the appearance.
Absolutely.
He appeared on the outside to be poor. But if you have kings showing up opening treasure boxes.
It is true.
Looking for you, and you have angels coming to minister to you. You know, like I would say colloquially, at the drop of a hat, angels are there to provide for you, and anytime you go fishing, you can get a money fish.
It could be argued either way.
To the natural senses and the way that natural carnal-minded people account things,
mm-hmm.
It looked like he was lacking, but he was never lacking.
Never. He lived never his life like he was in Eden, and the Father had provided everything for him.
And he didn't have to clutch at the appearance of riches and wealth. But coming back to this scripture here in the script verses 9 through 11 in James chapter 1, wisdom is the thing that brought wealth, and it was mm-hmm. God's wisdom that brought true wealth. So
Amen.
We started off this, the entire chapter, talking about here's God's process, and if you're lacking something, the word lack is what we automatically connect to poverty, mm-hmm. right? If you are impoverished of the things of God, ask him.
Amen.
So he can fill you up with that. Let him give you that. And that is what's going to exalt you in due time, right? He said, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Humble yourself under God's ways and the way he wants things to be done. And in due season, he will lift you up. He's going to exalt you. But the one who says, I've already got the kind of wisdom that I want, and I don't want what you have, Lord. I don't think I need what you have because I already have my own semblance of that. That person is going to be what? Because God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble, right? Mm-hmm. The humble one is the one who says, I'll come underneath your wings, God. I'll come underneath your banner, your standard, and the way you want to have things done. And the carnal-minded person or the human observing from a natural perspective will go, oh, the man who's being led by God is poor, right?
Yes, mommy.
They will say you're lacking something or you're missing something, but you're acknowledging, Lord, without you, I can do nothing. But with you, I can do all things. So that is the exaltation that comes when we submit to we acknowledge and admit that we are without God, unwise, but with him. And his wisdom is the primary thing. It's the prize. And we are shunning our own opportunity to try to make a path for ourselves, our own way to try to, and that's, I think, a high correlation that I see here in these scriptures. The rich man is not, it's not about money or not money.
Absolutely.
It's about his attitude. I think I can do what I need to do without God and by my own standard and my own measure. And the other one says, God, I can't do anything without you. I need everything that you have to give. And that's what I think I need to do. That's the way I'm going to go, is by what you say, Lord, right?
Amen.
And just like Abraham, God made him rich, right?
Yes, mommy.
And eventually, like, there was a season where he looked pitiful to everybody else, right? You could just imagine Abimelech, the multitudes of Abimelech watching Abraham circle his little tent, his little flock of sheep, his little herds. And even though they were growing and growing, he didn't have a castle to go to. He didn't have a palace that he was sitting behind. He wasn't raising up people to be a king over them per se, but you know, they're coming and they're, but he's still out there doing laps.
Walking the land.
Interesting. That to them looked like poverty, but then there came a point where they had to go, all right, Abraham, we see you're blessed of God, but it took time for that to be displayed and manifested.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the son came up, Isaac, then they had to come to a point again. Isaac looked pitiful for a little bit. Then Isaac took the wisdom of the Lord, obeying God to sow in the land instead of going down to Egypt or giving up and sitting down in the dirt, whatever. Sow in the land. And the wisdom of God produced a hundredfold return for Isaac in that same year while everybody else was suffering drought. And so a new Abimelech had to peer over the walls of his little castle and all that and go, oh, you're the blessed of the Lord now. We see how this is going. Come on, let's make a treaty, right?
Yes, mommy.
After, you know, they gave him some heartache, stuffed up some of Abraham's wells and all that kind of stuff. But from the natural, like, they're not doing things the way that the world is doing. So they looked pitiful to the world until the wisdom of the Lord had its full brightness and manifestation to go, nope, you guys are the ones missing out. The ways of God are the ones that provide wealth and increase, but there's no sorrow with it. There's no drawback to it.
Amen. Continue, promise. You're still sharing something. Do you still got something to share?
Yes.
Okay, well, let's hear it, sir.
And mommy, as you were saying, will we go along with God's plan for our lives? And talking about that grace, mommy, God gives us grace to do his plan and to do it his way. Not for us to try to achieve his outcome, but try to do it our own way. And the Lord was reminding me of how that because God already gives us grace, why wouldn't we walk in it? And because we don't have to earn it. All we have to do is walk with his plan.
Uh-huh.
And then all of these things will be added. We don't have to try to snatch with our hands and try to reach out, because God has already given and positioned everything inside of our life to actually everything in our life. He has positioned everything in our life to bless and benefit us. And going back to Proverbs 30, it wasn't about what he thought was right. It was about what God said was right. Because Isaiah talks about how our righteousness is nothing but filthy rags. Which is to say, it also says how his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Which also means that no matter what we think, if he says something is something, that's what it is. As in, if he says, for example, an apple is an apple, we cannot go and say, no, that's an orange. It's an apple, because he said it so. We see that side of Hebrews. We see that in Hebrews 11, 3. Yes. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. We can see that exactly right here. That no matter if God says something is some God, if God says one situation is what he says it is, we should be believing inside of his word if we actually want to receive his outcome. If we going back to James, faith without works is dead. So, if we do not want his outcome, then we're not going to do what's necessary to achieve that same outcome that God has given us.
And that would be a lack of discernment. Yes?
Mm. Yes.
Mm. Because if we're listening to the Lord, right, you got to be willing and obedient, willing to listen to him, to hear him, and know that his way is only good. All right?
Okay.
Okay.
Well, let's pause there for today. And with that, can I get a volunteer to close us out in prayer, please?
I will. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for your faithfulness and your trustworthiness. Lord, we thank you for taking the time to develop your character inside of us, Lord, and making a way that we could be reunited with you. We ask that you'll continue to guide us and lead us, Lord, to show us each step for each day, Lord, and what you want us to do, Lord, so that we're able to be pleasing in your sight in all things. And we thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we love you. God bless you. And have a wonderful day.
Want to know more about A Day of Prayer?
Sign up for our newsletter where you'll get the latest updates on the ministry, inspiring messages, and coupon codes for the merch shop. Visit our website, adayofprayer.org.
Click on Connect in the menu bar and complete the form.
Be sure to check the box that says Subscribe.
Thank you for listening to A Day of Prayer. We trust the Lord that you are strengthened and encouraged in your relationship with Christ. Visit us on our website, adayofprayer.org, where you can check out our blog, find additional study resources, or shop the official A Day of Prayer store.
Remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." So until next time, take care and God bless you.